From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
I was remarking to my friend Ken Drews earlier this spring about a garden I just visited and how the stands of primulas in it made me jealous and crave more primroses. But only a few primrose varieties are even sold in local garden centers here, and if you really want to create a dramatic swath of the diminutive plants, well, that would add up to quite an investment. As I was ranting, my text buzzed to alert me there was a message, and there was a photo from Ken of a flat of his just-emerged primula seedlings, hundreds of them, that he'd successfully winter-sown outdoors, all for the price of a couple of packets of seeds. More about how he did it and other things you can sow in that way in a moment, but first these messages.
Away to Garden with Margaret Roach made possible from Timber Press, the leader in fine garden books. The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder by best-selling author Marta McDowell. The revealing exploration of Wilder's connection to the landscapes of the American frontier is a must-read for Little House on the Prairie fans. From booksellers everywhere. From High Mowing Organic Seeds, the first independently owned farm-based seed company, proudly serving organic gardeners and farmers with 100% organic and non-GMO vegetable, herb, and flower seeds. HighMowingSeeds.com/awaytogarden.
Ken Drews, who gardens in New Jersey, is the author of 20 garden books and also my co-host of the Virtual Garden Club that we put on a few times each year. He's a master propagator who loves to crack the code of how to make more plants of any kind. And he's here today to talk about success with primula seed and other winter sowing experiments. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Oh, hi, Margaret. Is it spring? Is it summer? Is it winter?
I'm not confused. Even sure anymore. I give up. Is that a trick question?
Oh, I guess my goodness.
So. Yeah. So I said in the introduction that I was jealous of this when I went to this garden. I saw these, you know, just kind of along the edges of beds, like, you know, not hundreds, but, you know, a big strip of them here and there so that it caught your eye, because they're little plants, generally speaking. So they look good in mass, right? And then when you showed me yours, oh my goodness, like, what's going on over there?
Mass, that's a good word for it. We always... Well, we see photographs of drifts and swaths and streams of color. And then you go to buy three plants and it's $45 plus shipping.
Right. Exactly. Right. And so if you want 20 or whatever, let alone more, but
20, you need more than 20.
Yeah. I find sometimes they self-sow, but they're not necessarily permanent. You know what I mean? They don't stay put necessarily. So let's kind of backtrack, because we did a class, I don't know, last fall maybe, on winter sowing, and we talked about everything from, you know, native wildflowers to other perennials to vegetables even that people could winter sow, and that was really popular. But so this was kind of an offshoot of that. This is something that you've done with perennials before, and you also talked about a little bit in the class. So how did you get these things going that you showed me these pots and pots and pots of in flats?
Well, for years I would, and usually I'd collect my own seed from my own plants.
Right.
And also, you know, try something, a packet of seed from Chiltern in England or Barnhaven in France, because it's not easy to find the primula I want, which are the candelabra primula, and they go up to about 2 feet tall.
Wow.
So they're kind of showy. And that actually this year, I usually grow them on the stream side on the edge of the canal garden where it's very moist. But this year I tried some in a very funny place at the base of an oak tree, and they're blooming their heads off. It took 2 years, which is not very long really for a hardy perennial.
Right.
But I usually sowed them in a flat of sowing medium, which I often cover with a little thin layer of grit. We've talked about grit. It's like coarse sand, or, well, it's chicken grit.
Lake kind of granite. Looks like birdcage gravel, but it's not. It's poultry grit, like that, you know, you put out to help them digest their food if you had chicks or whatever, right?
Right. And then I'd have a flat, and then I'd cover the flat with either an inverted flat from the garden center that's really open, the kind for that has a lot of drainage, a kind of a grid, and put a brick on that to hold it in place. Where this year, again, I built a kind of a cage out of hardware cloth, and then I put it in a little bit of a shady spot and that's it. I did that in January, and then I didn't even think about it until April.
So you say cage because Mickey and Chippy and everybody are going to look for seeds, right? Mickey
Just Mouse, in case. I mean. Probably right, so, with primroses, they might not, but they disturb stuff. They want to go and bury something in my flat
right.
or something.
So it's sort of like you're animal proofing it,
right?
In a sense, like we would do with any winter sown crop, whether it was in January or later, if we were doing our vegetables or something, protected from the animals. And you said in a flat, so you're just using seed starting mix and you're putting it in a flat, and it's an open flat, not individual pots, or what's the deal in there?
Right. It's an open flat, but these are all going to be almost the same seeds. So they're.
Oh, so it was a whole flat of the same variety or species or whatever. Okay.
Because I had them and I can't throw them away. I mean, I probably.
And why can't, let's talk hundreds. About that. I'll be the psychiatrist. Why can't you throw them away? No, I'm teasing. I can't either. I just found all these seeds. I don't know what happened to me last year. We had a sort of droughty year, and I ended up giving up on my second sowing of vegetables because it was too tough. And I found a few packs of seeds that were a year old then and now are, a couple of years. And I was so frustrated at myself, I hate to throw anything away or waste anything. So.
Well, that's another show, I guess.
Yeah. But at any rate, I was just teasing you. So it's an open flat because it was all one kind. But like, say I want to do a little bit, what I call community pots, if I wanted to do, four different kinds.
Yeah, no, I do them in 3.5-inch pots. And okay. I did plenty of that too. But this year, because of our classes and everything, I tried a couple of different versions of winter sowing. I did the flat with probably at least 200 primula seeds that I collected myself. And we can talk about that too. And then I grew some things in the milk jug method, using the milk jug method, which is very popular now. And I also used a container, I'm sure you've seen them even though you're a vegetarian, but they have these rotisserie chickens at all the supermarkets.
Sure.
And they come in this container that's clear on top. It's got a dome and has a little reservoir in the bottom that's usually black. So I filled that with medium, cleaned it, of course, filled it with medium in that black bottom, and then covered it with the top. But I made a lot of holes in the top so rain and snow could drip in. Although once you moisten the medium, it pretty much stays moist the whole winter, because it's not really drying in the wind or the sun. And then lots of drainage holes in the bottom. And I also sowed seeds in that. So I sowed, and the jug method we'd have to talk about, but just sowing seeds in that rotisserie container, those were the seeds that sprouted first.
Oh, interesting. So it was like a little greenhouse that they were in.
Exactly. Right? It was warm.
Right.
After they went through the winter. So these are all hardy plants that need that cold or want the cold.
So basically you're simulating in a protected environment. You're not even simulating, you're letting them have the winter they'd have in their natural state, but you're protecting them from animals and sowing them all in one spot, and not having someone dig them up and so on and so forth. Yeah,
right. And no lights, no electricity, no watering, no worrying.
Right.
That is great.
Right. And this is great for a lot of perennials. And as I said earlier, when we did our last fall, I think it was when we did our winter sewing class online, which I bet we'll do again because that was so popular. It was fun too. Great questions and stuff from people that got us both learning a lot more. But this is a great way to start not just meadow perennials, native meadow perennials and so forth, but also which you could collect seed of and then make more and more and more. But also other perennials, non-native and so forth. It's a great way to start a lot of perennials that need that winter outdoors, but controlling it like this, protecting the seed from animals and just doing it in a more orderly manner.
Well, it was a massive success.
So to, you said you sometimes collect your own seed as opposed to buying it at like Barnhaven or
Or do
Chiltern
both
or whatever. But yeah, so are your primulas, have they gone by and are you now
no,
collecting seed for them?
they're still blooming. These are the first set that bloom, which are the Japanese primula, and they'll make a whorl of flowers, if you can picture sort of an umbel kind of thing. Then they shoot up a stem from the center of that that goes about 2 or 3 inches, and they make another whorl, and then they do it again. So they have these tiers of flowers and bloom for probably, if depending on the weather, 6 weeks or so, maybe longer. And then each one of those little flowers turns into a fruit. And you know, people think of fruits have to be moist, but anything that has a seed is a fruit. So, you know, I guess corn's a fruit because those are seeds too, but we don't think of that as a fruit. And of course, tomatoes are fruits. So these are dry fruits, like a, I guess if you had a pod with beans or something and it was dry, that's a fruit. So
So,
these are,
you'd collect those. You'd
yeah.
collect those.
Well, what I do, because if I don't do this, I lose them because they split open and drop their seed. So before they can do that, I cut the whole stem of several plants and I'll invert them in a brown paper bag or a paper bag and tie them together, perhaps. And then when they split open, the seeds fall into the bottom of the bag. So I put, if they're really green, I put the bag in a place where there's good air circulation. I actually hang it on a coat rack in an airy place.
That's so funny because that's what I used to do with a lot of my stuff too, is I would hang it in where I had like pegs in my mudroom, you know, where I would put my
Actually, it's on pegs, actually.
and I would like hang it on the peg. I'd hang the bag from the pegs. I'd put, you know, like a clip on it or something
Oh
in.
yeah, I staple some string
Yeah, exactly.
from the
So that's
bag.
funny. I'd walk in the mudroom and I'd be like, yep, there they are drying. The seeds are
Yeah, and
drying.
then when it's time, which is late December, they're all, you know, you just tip the bag and they're all there, and there's hundreds. I think each of those fruits must have, I don't know, 30 or 40 seeds in every single one. So there's really like 1,000 seeds, which I don't need 1,000 seeds, but. And then I try to store them. Sometimes, if you have to store them, you should store them in the refrigerator. But I put them in an envelope, label it with the date and who they came from. And maybe I'll separate the colors, you know, if some of them, because the Japanese ones go from white to dark red, and they're sort of mixed up. So if I have a white one, I'll put the white one in a bag separately and I label them. And then I'll sow them like I did this year. And I didn't know that we're all going to come up. They're all up. And they also, they're the kind of seeds that resent being moved. So I have to learn more about that. They're all okay. But I think I should be more patient and let them get bigger before I move them.
So move them. Okay, so just like when we're sowing lettuce, if we're doing it and we're gonna prick off or divide the thickly sown whatever it is in our individual pots, for instance, let alone in a big flat, we're then gonna divide them and transplant them when you're gonna pot them on, right? To larger containers. You're not gonna put them outside at this tiny little stage.
Well, they
So
are outside
the
now.
flat's outside. What I meant
Well,
was
also,
into the
yeah,
ground.
I'll do what we're saying, which is to I'll get a little 3.5 inch pot with medium, and I'll put four little seedlings in that pot, and that'll stay outside.
Right, but
Because
not in the
another,
open garden. Not in the open garden. You
not
have
in the
to
garden
wait for
yet,
the
right?
open
Not in
garden.
the garden soil or anything. And also, right away, I wouldn't put it in the sun. But you don't have to go through the whole hardening off process because they've been outside. So you don't have to worry about wind and even sun to some extent because that flat never came indoors, never was really warm.
Now,
Sounds
so
good.
did you was the cue for when to pot them on to four into a little pot from this big flat, of 9 million of them, was the queue that, did they like send up some kind of special looking leaves, or was there a size, or was it just they were getting crowded? Was there a trigger that you knew?
Well, I did what I always do, which is I waited for the first true leaves, because the first leaves that come up, two little leaves come up and they're seed leaves and they're usually roundish. And then the next set of leaves resemble what the mature leaves will look like, but they're very tiny. And I moved quite a few of them then, and it was not so successful because I lost quite a bit of them. They just were too young, too tiny, and they didn't like it. And since then, I read something from Barnhaven Primroses, which is a nursery in France. They used to send plants, but now they only sell seed to people in the United States. But they said not to move them so young.
Okay.
So now I know, but I didn't move that many. So they're going to be really crowded and thick, but that's maybe... I'll read some more and maybe I'll talk to them. Maybe I have to leave them for winter in the flat or something, but I'll find out.
So you're talking about Primula japonica, the Japanese primula. Mm-hmm. And have you done other primulas or other perennials in
I love the Chinese, I guess they might be Himalayan primroses, which are also the candelabra type. With the tears and everything, and the color, they bloom later, and the colors are so magnificent. But I've hardly ever had good luck with them. I'll have them for 2 or 3 years. Something will happen. I think it's too warm here. It's not exactly the Himalayas. Where
no, it's New Jersey. Ken, you live in New Jersey, not the Himalayas. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's Beziana and Bulliana. And then most incredible is a hybrid of those two, which is Beliziana.
I was going to say, I was going to kid you and say, is it called something like Beliziana? I always thought that was a joke. Okay.
Nope. It's Beliziana. Did you ever go to North Hill and see the primroses there, the garden in Vermont?
A long time ago, very long time ago. Yeah. Yeah.
And they have in Vermont. Okay. Vermont, that's colder.
Right.
And their primroses are at the base of a hill. So just like you have a base of a hill. So all the moisture drains down to them. And they're just magnificent.
I even like just the basic one. Like I just like the cowslip. What is that? Primula verus, I think, or something.
Primula verus is, well, oxlip is, and ileate is a different species.
Remember.
It's Elatior,
right.
Verus is the cowslip. I love cowslips, but I've heard that they take a long time from seed. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
interesting,
you think they're the easiest, and you know the ones in the supermarket in March, those little short ones that are sometimes they're called polyanthus.
Yeah,
a lot of those are hardy too, and I've planted some of those, and they bloom for months. Some of them. And some of them come back year after year, and then they don't. They're short-lived, but I can get... there's some red ones I've had now probably for 4 or 5 years. Hmm. And they're inexpensive, and the yellow ones are fragrant. And then if you go to the box store as the flowers are fading, they throw them out, so you can get them half price before they throw them out. But anyway, I digress.
So you could go to the supermarket, you could get a rotisserie chicken... You could get some primulas. You could then recycle the chicken that when the primulas have seeds, you could make babies of those. Okay, I get it.
You don't pot up the chicken and you don't eat the primula seeds.
Okay, good. Okay.
And those primula seeds are like the size of poppy seeds. They are really microscopic.
Right, right.
But
But
the Bulliana, Beziana, and X. Beliziana from Yunnan, China, elevations of 6,000 to 11,000 feet, sometimes 18,000 feet, I think. I try them every year and they come up and I coddle them and then they bloom in their second or third year and then they disappear. But the colors are just, they're incredible. I don't even know how to describe them. Just from beige to ruby red to purple, all different colors. But when they bloom, the japonicas, the first ones, are over. So they take over.
Are there other, so you could collect some seeds as you have in the past from your own primulas. Are there other things from the spring garden and then the early summer garden that as the season progresses and those things set seed that you have collected and had good success with that weren't, you know, you used this type of a method, this winter sowing, outdoor, no lights kind of thing? Are there other things?
I can't think of something right offhand, but I like what you said about the meadow plants.
Well, that's definitely, and that's, you know, late summer and fall collecting and then sowing once it gets cold. Yeah, those are classic. And a lot of them are pretty easy. So that's great. You know, I've done the collecting and drying in the paper bags and all that with things like my annual poppies and so forth, but I haven't done a lot of perennials. That's why I was just curious whether.
Yeah, I've done poppies too, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
And some of those sort of meadow plants like Bidens, mm-hmm. which is a composite type of like a daisy, and
yeah.
Rudbeckias, things like that.
Yeah.
But the early spring stuff, some of the early spring stuff are either hard, well, it's different because a lot of those really early plants are sown by ants and beetles. A lot of them take 2 years to germinate. It's a little trickier. Hellebores, I used to pay so much money for hellebores, and then I would collect the seed, sow the seed in the flat like we're talking about, and I know they take 2 years, so I would just leave them just like your Aranthus, almost the same. And it's a little bit tricky, but then I saw they're sowing themselves.
Right
under the leaves.
Right. To me, it's easier to let mama plant sow itself alongside itself, and then I pick up the babies and I put them in a seedling
right.
flat.
Right. Well, they're not quite as precious as some of these.
No, primers. Absolutely.
I mean, the
absolutely.
Japanese ones aren't beyond precious. They can even be a little bit aggressive, but these, the ones that I want, of course, the ones I want the most are the hardest to grow. So yeah. I don't have to baby them, but I have to keep my eye on them because they're, as I said, they're precious. But even talking to you, I think I have some new ideas. Go ahead.
So this is the time. I mean, so what we're saying is, and we're talking, you know, we're using the term winter sowing, and clearly it's not winter, although we were teasing at the beginning about what the heck season it is since the weather changes mm-hmm. every day. And we both had a big hard freeze last week and so forth. But basically, this is the time to figure out what you do want to do, because if you want to collect primula seed or you want to collect whatever, poppy seeds, whatever it is, it's the time to be looking, keeping an eye out so it doesn't spread its own seed, you know, wherever it feels like it, where you can get it in that paper
yeah,
bag. It's also
true.
Time if you're going to order from, you know, France and England and so forth or wherever, like from Chiltern or from Barnhaven Primroses or I think Plant World Seeds, though, I think that's here, isn't that here? They have primroses, different primroses.
They do. They actually have, they don't have Belizeana, but they have the, well, they might too, but they have Beziana and Beliana.
Yeah. So, you know, there are sources, but get, you know, go look, see what you want to identify to get, because sometimes things get sold out closer to the time of when they need to be sold, you know, right?
Right.
So it's good to kind of be prepared and to also then plan to get some rotisserie chickens so you can have your equipment.
I have my one little rotisserie chicken container, and then
that's funny.
By January, the seedlings will be out of it, and I think. And
that's funny.
We don't need a whole lot of those.
No. So just, you know, in the last few minutes, I mean, I just wonder, anything else that you're propagating at this time? Is this a time when you do cuttings, or is there anything else going on, or not this year? Are you doing a lot of dividing, or
I'm doing a lot of air layering.
Oh my
outdoors
goodness. What the heck?
I know, you know, but
with what are you air layering, which is a method of propagation.
Right.
What are you air layering?
Usually one damages the bark of a woody plant, a slender shoot, if you want to attempt to make more, mm-hmm. and then you can take something like sphagnum moss and you moisten that completely and you wrap it around this wound that you make. Actually, you can remove the bark in sort of a strip around the whole thing. And then you cover that with the wad of sphagnum moss and then wrap that in plastic and tie it at the top and tie it at the bottom, like one of those candies, you know, that
it's
are
like a bandage, right? It's like a bandage with this padding inside and moisture.
With a lot of padding, right?
Yeah.
It's like a good handful.
Yeah.
And then in the case of outdoor woody plants, you forget it. You go away because it's going to take probably 6 months. And you could even leave it through the winter. But there's a few things around here that people have admired. It's not easy to propagate woody plants, trees especially. And these are trees that you couldn't even get seed from because they're very unusual. And I'm going to see what happens.
So you're trying some air layering experiments.
Right. And I'm doing with hydrangea, woody hydrangeas like paniculata. That'll definitely work. And with a mulberry tree, which will also work. It's a mulberry that's variegated and extremely rare, even though it's not hard to grow. Right. And the variegation is just wild. And I just think, even if I don't, well, if I can give the plant away that's very rare and something happens to mine, and boy, this has happened.
Yeah.
And I know that plant still exists. I might even be able to get some back some year. But so I'm just trying in a few things in the garden and also with a couple of house plants that have been admired, like philodendron that have very thick stems, doing the same thing.
Right.
And then the aerial roots. I know you're running out of time, huh?
Yep.
Well,
because the mad propagator, you have to get back to your babies anyway. And so I'm going to.
I know you get me so excited.
Well, no, I'm glad I asked. I didn't know about the air layering. It's a subject for a whole other show. So thank you. And I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Margaret.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach made possible from Timber Press, the leader in fine garden books. The World of Laura Ingalls Wilder by bestselling author Marta McDowell. The revealing exploration of Wilder's connection to the landscapes of the American frontier is a must-read for Little House on the Prairie fans. From booksellers everywhere. From High Mowing Organic Seeds, the first independently owned farm-based seed company proudly serving organic gardeners and farmers with 100% organic and non-GMO vegetable, herb, and flower seeds. HighMowingSeeds.com/awaytogarden.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, and you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.